Avos, Perikei, Mishnah Tes, 5:9, and some Mishnayos, it's 5:11. In the previous mission, we start out by saying, Shiva mine poranios ban laolam. There are seven types of retribution that come to the world, and we listed five of those seven. So here in this mission, we'll do the other two. It says, Chaya ra'a ba laolam. Wild animals come to the world. I think this means to the community, relevant community. They attack the relevant community that does the appropriate avera. Al shvuas shav, for taking an oath in vain. Shvuas shav means a false oath. Really, there are four kinds of that. It means even though you're saying something that's true, it could be true, but the point is either A, it's patently obvious and no need to swear about it. B, it's patently false, therefore no need to swear about it. C, it's patently impossible what you're swearing to do. Or D, you're swearing to do something which is against the Torah, which therefore is not binding. Those are called the shvuas shav, and the penalty will be, the consequence will be Chayra, wild animals, and also Val Chilul Hashem, for the worst crime of Chilul Hashem, of the desecration of Hashem's name. Now, what would be the Mida Kenegan Mida here? Why is this sort of an appropriate punishment for that? So Shvu Hashav is essentially taking our capacity of speech and misusing it in the worst kind of way. And since what sets us apart from the animals is the fact that we can speak by essentially eliminating that virtue, making it irrelevant or to our detriment. Therefore, the consequences is either A, the animals come after us with their mouths, biting us, etc., or B, simply they just sort of lack the inherent fear that animals have of human beings. In general, animals would prefer not to attack people, but to run away. But that is no longer operative if people lose their special status as human beings, as, you know, defying their koach hamadaber, the ability to speak. As far as Chil Hashem goes, so Chil Hashem also means essentially you're pushing Hashem out of the world, if you will, as you described before in previous Mishnayos. So the idea is that a person is protected from the animals because he is like a Tzelem Elokim. He resembles Hashem in some way, and that is where the natural fear of the animals comes from. If he pushes Hashem away, he sort of minimizes himself in terms of his being like Hashem, and therefore that pushes his ability to sort of repel the animals away, making him vulnerable to the animals. The Pasuk really that makes us most explicitly and the Mefarshim speak out is the, I think, well-known pasuk in Tehillim, Kapitel Ches, in chapter 8, which says, "V'tachasrehu ma'at melokim, you, Hashem, made human beings just a little bit less than God. V'chavod v'hadar ta'atrehu, you crowned humanity with kavod and hadar, honor and glory. Tamshilehu b'ma'ase yadecha kol shata tachas raglav." We rule over everything on the earth. And the Pasuk ends there, and Pasuk Ches ends up by saying, Vagam behemos shakai, and also the animals of God. The point is, we're just a little bit less than Hashem, and therefore we rule over the animals. If we become diminished, because we push Hashem away, so it diminishes us and being like Hashem, therefore the animals are less under our foot, so to speak, and therefore we're exposed to them. That's a Mida Kedegan Mida. And finally, the seventh of the categories of retribution, it says, Galus ba la'olam, exile from the land of Israel, which is the worst of all Hashem's punishments. Today, regrettably, so many Jews just live like, okay, yeah, we're out of Israel, we live in Chutz La'aretz, what's the big deal? The answer is that's the worst case scenario, to be out of the land. So what crimes cause one to be kicked out of the land? The worst possible crimes. Avodah Zarah, Val Gilui Arayos, Val Shvichas Damim. For the three cardinal sins of idol worship, sexual morality, and murder. For that, we lose our right to the land. And also, says the Mishnah, a separate point, Val Hashmatas Ha'aret, and also if one fails to observe Shemitah properly. That's a separate point. So, Gullus, Hashem's Shechina leaving the land and us therefore being forced to leave as well, is the consequence of these three, big three. The Mida Keneged Mida, if you will, the Meiri speaks out, is kind of as follows, that obviously if you serve idols, then of course you are reducing the presence of the Shechina amongst Yisrael, because you're turning away from Hashem towards not Hashem, antithetical to Hashem, and therefore Mida Keneged Mida, Hashem retracts his Shechina's presence from us as well, making the land less invested with Shechina and more vulnerable and ultimately, you know, disconnected from Hashem, causing the Gullus. Gilui Harayos, that really causes, you know, husband and wife to get divorced, right? So again, like Hashem, so to speak, is like divorcing us, his people, by kicking us out of his land and exiling us. And Shvichas Damim is the cause of the, you know, the soul to be disconnected from the body. Again, the idea is we have this body, this physical location that we exist on planet Earth here in Eretz Yisrael, and the Shekhinah is present in it, and we're connected to it. If the Shekhinah is pressed away, if the spiritual component is, you know, detached from the physical component, therefore there's no special connection to us in Eretz Yisrael, and we're detached and we're kicked out. So that gives you an insight into the importance and the nature of Hashem's presence in and connection to the land of Israel, and are therefore the sort of the incomparable value of us being here and present in the land, and our ability to be mitchaber, to attach ourselves to Hashem and Shekhinah here in Eretz Yisrael. The other reason for exile would be hashmata sa'aretz, failure to observe Shemitah properly. This is actually a pasuk in Bechukosai, in the Tochacha, where it says explicitly, it's a pasuk, Perek Chavav, pasuk Lamadal, 26:34, where it says, after we've been kicked out of the land, Az Tirtze Haaretz, at that point the land will be it will be appeased, Es Shab Soseh, for its, you know, its resting, its lasting, its resting of Shemitah, Kol Yimei Hashama, all the days of its being desolate, meaning no one's working the land in Israel, of course, if they're kicked out of the land of Israel, and therefore the land's going to make up for its lost years of Shemitah, which should have been observed. Va'atem ba'aretz oyveichem, you Jews will be, which is us, of course, but Hashem is talking to us, will be in the land of your enemies. Az tishbas ha'aretz v'hirtzas es shab soseha, and then the land will rest as it was supposed to, and it'll be kedritzu, it'll get satisfied with the missing Shabbos it was supposed to have. And it's actually brought down in Chazal that the 70 years of exile that happened in the first exile, the Babylonian exile, let's call it, were for the 70 Shemitah years that weren't observed. So again, the basic Mita Kenegi Mita, of course, is that Shemitah, our observance of Shemitah, attests that the land is Hashem's land, that we betachen on Him, that He runs the world, and this is His world that we, you know, we subordinate ourselves to, and therefore His presence here, and we follow His lead. If we aren't prepared to have B'tachon on Him, we treat the land as our own land, not Hashem's land, so then of course we lose this chus to be here, and therefore Hashem kicks us out, Rachmana Litzlan. Okay, so that is the end of that part of the Mishnah, if you will. Now the Mishnah's not done, okay, but let me just sum up here. So we said that there are seven categories of Puranos, that's Mine Puranos, and seven, I'll call them again, categories of Avera, but Shiva Gufe Avera, it's hard to translate that. In any case, you see there's not a one-to-one correlation, but there definitely are seven like categories of each. The seven categories of punishments were clear in the Mishnah. Again, I'll just sum up for 1 second here. But you have the Ra'av Shel Betzores, the famine from drought. Then you have the Ra'av Shel Mahuma Veshel Betzores, the disruptive famine, and one also with drought. The third is Ra'av Shel Kalaya. That's like people actually dying from the famine, God forbid. The fourth is Dever, a plague of illness. And the fifth is Cherev, so that's war. And then you have, in our Mishnah here today, you have the sixth is the Chayara, the wild animals. And the seventh, the exile, the Golos. So that's the seven categories. Now, again, we don't have one-to-one correspondence, but what would those seven, there are seven different, I've called them categories of sins enumerated in the Mishnah, even if it's not one-to-one. And what are those seven categories? So the Meiri says as follows. First of all, the first one is to fail to do proper tafrashos, trumas, and maisos, and the like. The second is the different crimes which the bezdin, the earthly bezdin, doesn't punish, but there's a sort of a death penalty or a kares, misav de shemaim, etc. So that's the second. The third is failure to observe Shemitah properly, different aspects of Shemitah. The fourth is different forms of injustice. So that was like inuyam hadin and ivus hadin. The fifth is Shvu Hashav, taking oaths in vain. The sixth is Chil Hashem, the desecration of Hashem's name. And the seventh is the Gimel Chamuros, the three cardinal sins of idol worship, immorality, sexual morality, and murder. Okay, so that's the seven. Now the Mishnah's not done. The Mishnah goes on to essentially a new point here. Now, some Mishnahs have this as a new Mishnah here, because the next section of the Mishnahs deals with the things that are in categories of four. Okay, but here we say, Ba'arba Prakim Hadever Mitrabe. There are four junctures in the Shemitah cycle where Dever, once present, becomes more pronounced, meaning more people are dying from the plague. Now, let me just explain it outside first, then I'll show you inside the words. The idea is as follows, that people are dying from plague sometimes when it comes, and that intensifies when, this principle is, when in consequence of people failing to take care of the poor properly, like called giving tzedakah, if you will, taking care of the poor who are needy. And of course, if you're pretty poor, and you're living in an especially poor society, as the Mishnah is imagining here, and there's not food for you, so then, God forbid, people even die. So the consequence is, since the society failed to take care of its poor and they died, so now the people of the society will die as well. So there are four junctures in the calendar of the seven-year cycle, if you will, where this intensifies. And it's, again, because there are different safeguards put in place for taking care of the poor. Let me just explain this out for a second. What is the Torah's, not the Mishnah, but just in general? The Torah has a system for taking care of the poor, which essentially boils down to the following. First of all, at every harvest of every crop or whatever, there's a requirement to leave different gifts to the poor. Those gifts include peah, a corner of the field unharvested, shicha, sheaves that are forgotten as you bring them in to leave behind, leket, the stalks that fall as you're harvesting them, one or two fall, you shouldn't pick them up. Then you have peret, which is kind of the similar thing to leket, but with grapes. If one or two fall as you're harvesting them, you leave them on the ground for the grapes. And olos, which are misshapen grape clusters. So these kind of five things are meant to be food left for the poor out of every harvest, so the poor every year could find what to eat. Okay. In addition, you have a seven-year Shemitah cycle. Now, there's 6 years where you're owning the property and giving different tithes, and the seventh year it's ownerless. In the 6 years, there are two mini cycles of 3 years each, okay? So in all 6 years, you're going to separate truma to give to the Kohen. Let's say, for example, you have, let's call it 102 bushels of wheat or barrels of wine. So roughly two go to the Kohen. You're left with 100, let's call it. 10% of that is going to go to the Levi as Meister Rishon. You're left with 90. Now, 10% of what remains, I'll call it 9. So in the first two of the 3 years of each mini cycle, it's called Meiser Sheni and brought to Yerushalayim. So that's years 1 and 2. And then again, year 4 and 5. But in years 3 and year 6, the third year of the mini cycles, instead of Meiser Sheni, it's Meiser Ani. It's that tie, that nine barrels or 9 bushels, whatever it is, are given to the poor. Okay? And then finally, in the Shemitah year, the seventh year, sort of like a bonanza for the poor people, because all the land is left ownerless, and therefore no one is allowed to restrict access, and therefore the poor people are just limited to like shicha and pay and the like. They can walk into every field and help themselves whatever's growing there. All the figs on the trees, they can take as much as they want, and the wheat growing wild in the field, they can take, and the grapes on the vine, they can take. So the poor are taken care of in the Shemitah year. So the point of our mission here is going to be that if the society isn't taking care of the poor because they're not doing these various things properly, so then the consequence will be intensification of dever. So therefore the mission says inside, I'll read it to you and I'll explain as we go here. Barbara Prakim, Hadever, Misrabet, four junctures in the 7 year cycle, the plague intensifies. Baravius, in the 4th year of the 7 year cycle, because if the community failed to give in the 3rd year their Miser Ani properly, then in the next year, the 4th year, there's Dever. Ubashvius, on the 7th year. Uvamotzi Shvius. Shvius is the 7th year, because again, after the 6th year, they should have given Miser Ani, they didn't. Uvamotzi Shvius, on the called the 8th year, because they didn't leave, if they restricted access on the 7th year of Shemitah. And Uvamotzi Achag B'choshana V'shana, on the after the Sukkot each and every year. Because why? All the harvests essentially are done in time for Sukkot. That's this Sukkot is Chag HaAsif, the festival of the ingathering. So throughout the summer, some early, some late, all the different crops are picked and harvested and whatever it is. And therefore, all the different Matanos L'Aniyim, B'shicha, Peah, Leket, etc., should be given by them. So after Sukkot, what isn't, if it hasn't been done by then, of course, then the retribution comes. The Mishnah speaks out a little bit. It says, Baravius, Mipnei Meiser Ani Shivishlishis, the 4th year because of the Meiser Ani that was failed to be given in the 3rd year. Bashvius in the 7th year, Mipnei Meiser Ani Shivishlishis, for the failed giving of Meiser Ani in the 6th year. Bamotze Shvius at the 8th year, Mipnei Peros Shvius, because they're restricting access to the produce of the Shemitah year itself. Uvamotzi Chag B'chol Shana V'shana, and the reason why after every Sukkot, every single year, Mipnei Gezel Matnos Aniyim, because of failure to give or stealing from the poor, like giving their gifts that I enumerated before.